day shift from the MVP Electric Heating and Cooling Studios, 610 Sports Radio.
Day shift, Blake Bink and Wachowski here on 610. Everybody get excited. Everybody get ready to geek out because Jay Binkley and myself, we're about to geek out. Not just because we're talking about Chiefs football, but because we got a special guest in studio.
It's Pete Sweeney. He's down with Arrowhead Pride, which we love Arrowhead Pride, and Joel Thorman. And actually talking to Joel Thorman about you last week. Like, you guys got Pete Sweeney finally on. You were with the Chiefs. You did a lot of the stuff. I remember at the Pro Bowl in Orlando, you're down there talking to Andy Reid, and you were inside the building with the Chiefs, and now you're in the media, which I think brings a different perspective because you've been on both sides of the fence.
Yeah, absolutely. I think the first thing you notice is when you're in the organization with the Chiefs, everyone is in suits, and Joel Thorman, you know, happens to wear sweatpants, you know, and runs the show from his house. But
or any pants at all.
If we're lucky, if we're lucky. But he does a fantastic job, so joining his team, honestly, was a privilege. So I'm really excited about
it. Well, man, you're leaving when everything's hot and fresh. I mean, you cut Macklin, you fired Dorsey. I mean,
it's a good offseason. A lot of good people from the Chiefs left. You know, that's what I have to say. I was a part of that. But no, it was a crazy, crazy offseason. And the good thing about Arrowhead Pride, it gives you an opportunity to kind of talk about it, give your opinion. So I'm excited.
What were you most shocked about, Macklin or Dorsey? Or are we looking at the Macklin thing wrong? Because I always say there's always two sides.
I think it really came down to, you know, a cap spacing issue where they had to pay some rookies and Macklin had to be let go. I think you're never shocked when a player gets released. You know, even Jamal Charles, this is a guy who meant so much to the Chiefs. But players get released all the time. You see it across sports. I really, really didn't expect when a team makes the playoffs for 3 or 4 years for the GM to be let go. I was shocked about that, yes.
I mean, let's be honest, Pete. All right, from Dorsey into Macklin into Tamba into all of these things that have transpired in the offseason, you know what we're trying to do, right? We're just angling for hard knocks. That's all we're doing here in Kansas City. We're dangling for hard knocks, and we want to get the barbecue reputation. We want to get all that stuff out there, man.
Hard knocks in Kansas City would be wonderful. I'm a New Yorker. I grew up in New York. It's hard to get some of my best friends out here because they assume Kansas City is this farm town. I'm like, guys, this is an awesome place to live. But I'm telling you right now, back to hard knocks, Andy Reid is not going to be the guy that'll willingly do that. Mm-hmm. I believe there's some sort of thing for the team where if they lose a certain amount of games for a certain amount of years, they're in that pool.
Yep.
Right now, the Chiefs are certainly not in that because, like I said, they made the playoffs for 3 or 4 years. Andy Reid will not be volunteering for hard knocks.
No, he didn't even like scrimmaging against another team. I mean, that's one thing. I want them to scrimmage another team. But, Pete, I am so adamant. I used to love when the Chiefs would do this in Minnesota. I loved when Todd Haley brought the Cardinals in before they played the preseason. I love seeing them hit somebody else because what infuriates me is when I'm watching Marcus Peters lose a battle to Tyreek Hill, I'm questioning, okay, that's good for Tyreek, but it's bad for on the defensive side, but I want to see him do it against another team.
To your point, Tyreek Hill is reaching another level. I'm sure we'll get a little bit more into that, but, you know, to the training camps and the split training camps, you know, I agree with you to some extent, but you see that some of these best teams in the league, the Bill Belichicks, the Andy Reids, there's something to the secrecy. You know, the best teams in the league really kind of keep
things
in the refs.
But Belichick will do these.
Well, that I know. I mean, I've seen that before, and I think just to try certain things. But I think at the end of the day, you appreciate sometimes where, you know, Andy Reid won't do it, or he's a little secretive with the media, where Belichick won't give things away. Because at the end of the day, these are teams in the playoffs every year, and these are teams winning Super Bowls.
It's at PG Sween on Twitter.
Correct.
And Chiefs fans, this is a must follow because he puts a video out. He does everything that you want, because this is what Chiefs fans want.
Right.
Therese does a lot of this stuff too, our guy, and you've been doing this stuff too, and you've put out your 5 takeaways from Chiefs camp, and I know that Henry's interested in this one too because you have it right here. It's on arrowheadpride.com if you want to see some of Pete's takeaways. The guy everybody's talking about is Alex Smith, looking great. He's looked great in training camp before. I feel he's playing looser this year. What have you seen from Alex Smith?
Alex Smith at training camp, and as I say in the article, you have to first say all the right things when it comes to this is training camp. He's not getting hit ever. You know, he's not feeling that pressure. He has no worries about, you know, getting brought to the ground a couple years back. He had a lacerated spleen. But all that said, he's out there and he looks like a different quarterback to me as far as accuracy, as far as being cool, calm, and collected. And he looks, as I describe in the article, like a man like on fire. You know, and I think, you know, he'll never be the one to tell you that drafting Patrick Mahomes had anything to do with the way he's shown up to camp. But I mean, in the offseason, he said he started his throwing program earlier than he ever has before. And you could tell at training camp, there's a little bit extra. And that's what competition does. It brings out the best in everybody.
What did you think of the drama with Tamba and the whole Facebook stuff, as well as maybe just how the dynamics of, because we know that for the most part, that when it comes to leadership in that locker room at Arrowhead, it's been tight. You get a lot of great guys in that locker room. Do you think that maybe some of the comments about, you know, I love football and I'm trying to win, and it came across as though he was taking a shot at certain guys for not showing up to OTAs? Do you think that that was anything that was going to linger when he said that? Because it doesn't seem like it's lingering into training camp at all.
You don't see it at all, I think, at training camp. But as far as just him doing it, listen, we're in the media. You know, we want these guys to be honest. I was loving it. Because
we eat it up, yeah.
Right, because he's telling the truth. He's telling how he actually feels. I mean, I don't think the Chiefs as a team appreciate that. You know, Andy Reid did say we would have liked him to address these concerns behind closed doors. But I think I liked it. I didn't love the timing. And it was surprising for me from Tamba, because he's such a great leader in the locker room, that he would do it right before training camp, cause a distraction. But at the end of the day, it hasn't bled into training camp. And Tamba just put on his Instagram story last night, he should be back on the field soon. I don't know if the medical staff agrees, but from the horse's mouth, we should be seeing him sooner rather than later.
I speculated, and I thought, after initially kind of wondering for the first couple of days, I said, man, I just don't understand the timing of it. I just don't get it. And then it all kind of came to me, and then he clarified. Remember when he went on Facebook Live, and then he did the few minutes that he talked about Facebook Live, whatever, last week? He said essentially what I said, and my take was that I believe that the reason why he said some of the things that he said out of frustration is because he knows the end of the road is near. All sense of purposes, this could probably be his last year in the National Football League, and I think that he understands that, and he wants to go out a winner. He wants to give it all that he has, and he wants to play more in what could be his final season. And in that Facebook Live, he came out and said, he's like, man, you know, you think you're invincible when it comes to this game, but everybody's got to go ahead and go off walking away from this game. And I want to realize the fact that I want to be able to have that opportunity to win a championship.
Right. And something that stuck with me is, and this, he did this on his Instagram Live, you know, it's Tamba just hitting all parts, all aspects of social media. But the thing that stuck with me is, I got here in 2014. So I, you know, you guys have been in Kansas City for longer than that, much longer than that. You knew the Chiefs when they weren't so good. I've really only known them as a really...
I got here with Andy in 2013.
Oh, you did?
So I've only been here a year before you.
Okay, well, good. Yeah, so you're in the same boat where you only know the Chiefs as a good team. Tom has been here since the dog days. So one thing he said on his Instagram Live story was, listen, this was the biggest game of my life, and I played 7 snaps. I appreciate that he was upset. What bothered me a little was the timing.
Should have done it after the game. That's exactly what he should have done.
Right.
And
he had all offseason.
Listen, I'm sure he has Andy Reid's number.
Andy Reid right in Sutton right after the game.
Right.
And I said, what the hell, fellas?
Right.
What the hell? I'm pissed. What the hell happened?
Or the next week,
yeah.
You know, or on clean out day of the locker. It just was a weird timing. That's the only thing for me.
This team, in my opinion, should have a chip on their shoulder. They finally won a playoff game, because I remember asking Derek Johnson this year, last year in camp. I said, do you feel like you have unfinished business? Because that's all we heard from the Royals. When they got to the World Series and didn't win it, it was unfinished business. Said, you guys have a little unfinished business about you, because you finally got the taste of success, and now you think you want more. I mean, these guys, Derek Johnson's only playing because he wants a ring. Guys his age coming off 2 Achilles retire, except for guys like Derek Johnson.
He's been so impressive, and it's just his demeanor, too. I mean, he just loves the game of football, and I've asked him before, even on, you know, when I was working for Chiefs.com, I said, you know, when are we getting close to the end? What's the deal here? And he clearly wants to win a championship. And I think you're right. Seeing him come back from 2 injuries like this, and you look at training camp, I know he's out with the tooth right now, hitting up the dentist, but he'll be back on the field. He's looked pretty good. He looks like he's going to have a strong hole in that spot. It's the question right now is who's going to be next to him, I think.
All right, we're talking to P. Sweeney in studio. Coming up next, there's something that I said about the Chiefs that actually piqued Pete's interest in regards to my particular take. We'll ask him about that next.
The Day Shift from the MVP Electric Heating and Cooling Studio, 610 Sports Radio.
Go to goodytickets.com right now and get 610 off your ticket order using promo code 610 Sports.
All right, back in Day Shift, Blake Bink and Wachowski here. Pete Sweeney joining us in studio from Arrowhead Pride. Going to talk to Brandon Maurer here at the top of the hour from the Kansas City Royals, new member of the Royals. But before we went to break, I wanted to ask you a question in regards to something that I threw at Binkley about 40 minutes ago, a little bit less than 40 minutes ago, and driving in, you heard me ask him about it. He said it was actually a good question because it's somebody that doesn't get talked about that much right now, and that's Philip Gaines.
Right.
And Philip Gaines is somebody that, you know, now that we're heading into, was it year number four for him, I think, and he was a guy that they had a lot of high expectations of coming into the fold here in 2014 when they drafted him. And then he had the torn ACL in the Green Bay Packers game a couple of years ago and never has fully really recovered or gotten back to being himself. Where do you think Philip Gaines sits with this organization and with this team right now?
I feel for the guy because he really was coming into his own before the injury happened and came back. And last year, you're right. You never had a feel that he was 100%. He was up, he was down, mm-hmm. he missed three games, and he'd be back. And right now, I mean, he's out of the first string mix, I believe. You know, you have your base with Nelson and Peters, obviously. And then when they go to a nickel set, they're sliding Nelson in and putting Mitchell out there. I think he's in the mix to be, you know, a backup at this point. I think that's what the Chiefs see him as. And again, it's one of those cliches that you always hear, the best ability is availability. And he hasn't been able like to stay on the field. And that's so important with this roster spot, especially now in what it's been year five of the Reed era, where there's so many talented players vying for these spots. Making the 53 is not easy. And if he didn't, which I don't foresee, I'm not saying that, this is a guy that would have an opportunity elsewhere.
He's so fast, and he fits the Sutton mold. McNelson, that was the one thing about Nelson. I remember talking to Dorsey once they drafted Steven Nelson. And I said to him, I said, John, he doesn't typically fit your – because I remember when he first got here, you talked about six-foot corners.
Big physical corners.
Yeah, I thought that was kind of the cutoff, that you had the six-foot corner. Philip Gaines fits it to a T with the model they were looking for, but then Nelson didn't, quote, fit the T, but he had the other intangibles, the heart, the drive, the, you know, the desire. He had the things that guys his size don't have, but he played bigger than what he was. But Gaines, to me, always fit the profile of what they wanted.
Yeah, and it seemed like with Nelson, he was fitting the profile of who was the cornerback that ended up going to San Diego that was previously here, and then he went to San Diego.
Oh, Brandon.
Yeah.
Brandon Flowers.
Brandon Flowers. Yeah. It seemed like you were going back in that direction when you had a guy like Nelson.
The thing about Nelson that I find the most intriguing, and you saw all the Pro Football Focus reports, he's one of the best cornerbacks, defensive backs in the league at defending the slot. And that's actually one of my points in the takeaways mm-hmm. today on arrowheadpride.com is about Steve Nelson. And it comes to defending Tyreek Hill. You mentioned before the Chiefs don't have these split squad practices where other teams come in, but they're facing now, in my opinion, one of the elite receivers in the NFL. I think that's what Tyreek Hill is going
to be. Peters called him one of the best receivers in the league.
I think that's what he's going to become this year. And you see him at training camp. Hill versus Nelson in the slot is a battle. And Nelson's had the better of him a couple times here. I'm really impressed. And it's so important because, you know, when you're in the nickel and you're sliding Mitchell out, a lot of the times some of the best weapons in the league are in that slot position. And you're in the nickel a lot more as the NFL continues to carry sure. on these days. I mean, you're seeing passing way more than running. You know, back in the old days of football, you know, it was run the ball, run the ball, run the ball. Now teams are passing all the time, so the nickel is so important, and that position is even more important.
It's funny because I asked Derek Johnson about that. I said, because the Chiefs were missing a ton of tackles. Right. I remember I said, Derek, is it because when you're in high school and college, everybody's doing the spread? You're forgetting how to tackle the runners. That's why I've always said football's going to flip. And it's going to be a power running game at some point back because guys are not accustomed to hitting. And they barely hit now. They can only hit one day a week during the season for only 10 weeks. They're going to go back to that physicality. Back to corners, though. I consider corner the toughest position on the field because the elite athletes, they're not a running back anymore. They're a wide receiver. Like Odell Beckham could have played running back at LSU. But if he's so good, he's a wide receiver. That's where the talent is going, to wide receiver. Defensive backs weren't talented enough to play wide receivers. They couldn't catch the ball. Doesn't mean they're not fast, but they weren't playmakers.
Right, so there's a shortage, really.
But they're going backwards. And these talented elite wide receivers are so athletic, they know exactly what they're doing. Being able to cover the elite talent, which you're seeing more elite talent at wide receiver now than you ever have in the NFL, that's why I feel cornerback is so important. This is why I would have addressed this earlier in the draft than McQuay in round 7 for the Kansas City Chiefs, because I value the cornerback position as the toughest position in football.
Yeah, I would tend to agree. I think if there's one position where if you're a Chiefs fan and you're excited about this year, you think you have this complete team, the right cornerback, Mitchell, when he has to come in, and we're saying it's going to be more and more downs as, you know, each league year passes, I think that could be a question mark. I mean, he has a lot to prove, but the coaching staff has faith in him. They put him in a big position last year. You saw him in the playoffs. I really think he could do the job, and what's going to be important is during times maybe he is getting beat, that's where Dee Ford and Justin Houston come in, and we know he wants to play quite a bit. Tom Bahali, when he is in there, getting to the quarterback. I mean, you saw that with the Giants teams that won the Super Bowl. They were getting to the quarterback, and that takes the pressure a little bit off that secondary where there are weak spots.
Tom could be Dwight Freeney at the last stage of his career. Seriously. Situational passers. Dwight Freeney was really good. He came off the couch and got 8 sacks for Arizona. But a guy like that, that you know he's not a 3-down linebacker, that just specializes, I would like to see if that could be his role.
Yeah, and maybe that's possible. It seems like the fountain of youth for him has been his music career, which he's very, very excited about. I mean, you see it all over Twitter. He
did a great video.
He's on a boat. He's dancing. I mean, he started on the PUP, but with the dance moves, I'm seeing this. I'm the only one for me video. I don't know if he should have started training camp on the injured list, but no. I expect him to sort of back up his words. Yep. Tom has never been a guy that's going to speak and then not follow it up. So it should be interesting, and there's going to be eyes on him. Where he gets the snaps is going to be even more interesting. You know, I think because Ford is coming into his own and he's healthy, hopefully going into this year.
I view the running back situation as Spencer Ware is the guy to start, but depending on how Kareem Hunt showcases himself during the course of this year, you never know. Maybe he could overtake Spencer Ware. What do you see of the running back situation there?
I think what you're saying is correct. I think right now Spencer Ware is the guy.
Andy loves him.
And he's proved it. The thing is, Spencer Ware and Kareem Hunt are very different running backs. I mean, Spencer Ware is a bruiser. You sort of know what you're going to get with Spencer Ware. Driving up the middle, you know, he's going to hit the different lanes sort of within the middle of the offensive line. When it comes to Kareem Hunt, Hunt reminds me, I don't want to compare the two because I don't think they're the exact same running back, but Hunt reminds me a little bit of like Charles, you know, is a little shifty, can kind of get around the outside a little bit. And he has shown an ability in training camp so far to catch the football. And if your running back is catching the football and you have these talented wide receivers, you have Tyreek Hill, Travis Kelce, and Kareem Hunt on the field at the same time, man, that's a challenge for a defense.
The number one thing I'm looking for, I know we've talked linebackers, against my number two is the wide receivers because they're so young and we don't have a lot of time, but that's the position that's key in the NFL. You got to have talent, and I'm really curious about earmarking guys for the future for Mahomes. Who are the Mahomes set? Because you're going to keep receivers on this roster even if Alex can't deliver it to them because of Mahomes.
Yeah, and Patrick Mahomes has had a good camp, but you got to remember he's also facing the third team defense. Would be really interesting to me as camp goes on is if he overtakes Tyler Bray, which I think may be possible at some point to become the backup. And then
let's hope
he's against reserves. I want to see how he does against reserves, because if he's doing the same thing against reserves, that's going to tell me, okay, this is the real guy. But as far as favorite receivers right now, he's having actually a good rapport with J.U. Chesson. They seem to be connecting really well, Boss Travis.
Really?
That's how he likes to be called. Yeah, Ross Travis. He seems to have a liking for him. And I've seen him connect a few times, too, with Marcus Kemp, who is another name out there, too. I mean, you talk about the Shontavious Jones. Marcus Kemp's also having a decent camp as well.
Preseason's going to be fun this year. This is actually going to be fun to watch preseason.
Watch the whole game.
It's going to be fun because Mahomes, Kareem Hunt. I mean, there's some Jehu Jess. I mean, there's some reasons to watch, especially Mahomes. I mean, we all want to see when he gets on the field.
Absolutely.
Even in preseason, don't care. I want to see Mahomes.
And the way Andy Reid does it usually is he'll give Alex a few snaps, Bray will get in, and then you might have a end of third quarter, fourth quarter with Mahomes. But usually, you're napping at halftime.
Yeah, Bray will come in first in preseason.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And then you'll see Mahomes at the end of the game. But at halftime, usually I was saying in the preseason, you're napping. You're going to be watching this whole game. There's yep. reason to this year.
Yep. Great stuff, man. Great stuff. Thanks for coming in studio and joining us.
Yeah, thank you, guys.
All right, check him out on Twitter, Pete Sweeney, at PJ Sween on
PG.
Twitter. That's what I said. Didn't I say PG?
It's a J.
Oh, my bad. PG. My bad. I said PJ.
It's close, though.
PG Sween on Twitter. That's my bad.
ArrowheadPride.com is always great work.
Absolutely.
The Day Shift from the MVP Electric Heating and Cooling Studios, 610 Sports Radio.